The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And welcome once again, everybody, to Golf Talk America. This is Tim Matthews, and we are into day two, but certainly first round action of the 116th U.S. Open at Oakmont. So we'll be talking an awful lot about what's going on at Oakmont. Of course, yesterday, the opening round, three different weather delays, including the final one, which canceled the rest of the first round. And a lot of golfers hadn't even teed off ball one when they canceled yesterday's round because of all the rain that they had. And the course was saturated with a lot of water, a lot of standing water. And so a number of golfers, including number one in the world, Jason Day, just getting started today and almost as we speak for his first round. So we'll try to keep you updated and catch up because it's a very fractured leaderboard with some guys having finished, some not even having teed off yet. But we'll get you updated on where we stand. We also, of course, a little bit later on in the show, we'll have guests as we always do. We have Mike Perkey with us. He's the editor-in-chief of Global Golf Post, one of the best online publications you can get for free, and you should get it and know all you want to know about the world of golf. And then, of course, Bob Bupka will join us as he does most weeks. He's a host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio and has been around golf since just after Sam Snead was a rookie. So it's a lot of history that we'll have with Bob talking about the U.S. Open. I'm not sure how many of the 116th playing of the U.S. Open Bob's been to, but I'd venture to say it's been a pretty good chunk of them over the last 30 or 40 years. So we'll talk to Bob coming up in just a little bit. Frank Bassett normally joins us from the Nashville studios, but today he has, as he was earlier in the week, has other duties going on. Also in Nashville, he is at the Web.com tournament, the stop in Nashville, the Nashville Golf Open, which started yesterday's first round at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, which is where we find Frankie Frank. How are you doing this morning, Frank?
Hey, man, I'm here. I'm in the locker room again. Here we are.
You like hanging out in the locker room, Frank. We should talk about this.
I do. I've got athlete's foot already just from being here.
Oh, I don't blame you. Yeah. I'm sure you do.
No, it's great. Beautiful day. We had some weather come through during the Pro-Am on Wednesday, some really severe weather. But yesterday they had decent weather. Today's going to be good. It's hot, 97, 98 degrees in Nashville, about 80, 90% humidity. And the course is playing to 7,547 yards.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. It's a walk, and that, the greens
same
are
weather,
tiny here.
Yep. That same weather that went through you guys on Tuesday, Wednesday is what hit the Oakmont area yesterday, and now they say it's moved through. They expect it to be dry for the rest of the weekend, but it has softened up a very challenging Oakmont course. And having said that, I'll give you a quick update of the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. Andrew Landry, who no one other than his parents knew anything about coming into this tournament. He was a qualifier out of Memphis, shoots a 4-under-66, had to come back today for just one birdie putt on his final hole. That's all he had left when the horn sounded. Probably should have putted out yesterday when he had good momentum going and feel. Nevertheless, he came back for just one putt and warmed up and made the putt, made his birdie to finish with a 66. Now he has to sit around for hours waiting for other guys to finish their first round before he can start his second round. He has a one-shot lead right now over Lee Westwood, shot a 67. Scott Piercy is just into his first round. He's on his fourth hole, but he's already at 2-under par. Shane Lowry finished yesterday with a 68. He is at 2-under. Scottie Scheffler, one of the big stories of the tournament, is an amateur out of Highland Park, Texas, and at the University of Texas right now, just finishing his sophomore year. He shoots a 1-under-69 for an amateur at Oakmont. His first major ever, pretty big story there. Bubba Watson also at 1-under, and Kevin Streelman. So that's where that sits. It's not the big boys. We'll get into how Jordan Spieth and Jason Day, who's just started play, and Rory played. But none of them have been playing all that well, quite honestly. So we'll see. A lot of golf yet to be played. But it's a little bit of the lesser-known guys, certainly Andrew Landry, on the top of the leaderboard right now. But, Frank, where you're at the Nashville Golf Open, first ever that they've had the Web.com tour there, you guys had a heck of a story as well as far as great golf being played on a very, very challenging course.
We did. This course is very challenging, and a young man named Wesley Bryan yesterday went out and shot the course record. He shot a 63 10 birdies and one bogey on this golf course. And
wow.
The rest pars. It was a phenomenal performance on this course with these tiny greens. Wow. Everybody's just in shock that he did that the first day. And as a matter of fact, we caught up with Wesley Bryan after his round yesterday. And let's hear a little bit in Wesley's own words of what it was like.
Wesley. Pretty good start to this tournament. I caught up with you on 7.
Yeah.
And then you made 10 birdies and one lone bogey to shoot 900 par today. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just needed to have you come out a little bit earlier. I mean, it seems like every time you've shown up this year, I've made a birdie or two, and I guess it got a little out of hand there at the end. But, I mean, all in all, 9-under is good anywhere. Don't care if you're playing the red tees or whatever. And especially on a track like this, it's really difficult to make some birdies. And, yeah, I'm pleased.
Yeah, it's certainly a round, I think, where everything came together. My sense is that the defense of this golf course is probably the kind of the narrowness of the greens.
Yeah.
But I think your iron play looks super crisp, and obviously the putter's red hot.
Yeah, the iron play was great. Honestly, I didn't drive the ball good today. It was a lot of it. I got a little lucky out of the rough, judging flyers correctly and getting them to land soft, just by sheer chance, I guess. But the putter was pretty scorching. Caddy came up to me and said, I think that's the fewest putts I've ever seen. I think I had like 19 putts for the 18 holes. So it all in all, it was it's an outlier of a putting day. I know I gotta drive the ball a little better moving forward if I want to continue to hopefully make a few more birdies.
Well, I know it's premature. It's just the end of round one.
Yeah.
But that said, we've got 2 wins so far on the Web.com Tour. Played Memphis on the PGA Tour. Obviously playing with a lot of confidence, and there's a battlefield promotion if you get number 3. Is that in your mind at all?
No, not really. I mean, if you give me a... Looks like something maybe just went in. If you give me a 5 or 6-shot lead coming down the last hole, yeah, maybe I'll start thinking about it. But there's a lot of work between now and then. There's no room in this game to start looking ahead.
Wesley, great stuff. Go get some lunch.
Thank you.
So there you go. I think a birdie went in right behind him, but that's pretty impressive stuff, Tim Matthews. I mean, that
well,
on 63, this golf course,
and this is a golf course that people aren't familiar with, possibly, but it was built had major championships in mind, U.S. Open and PGAs and whatnot. So it was built as a track that was going to be extremely challenging. So it's not just a guy shooting a 63 on a ho-hum golf course that happens to be in Nashville. This is a very, very, very top golf course. So, that's amazing. And it does show you, too, Frank, the fine line we've talked about between Web.com. It's a world of difference as far as the players are concerned and the money and the perks and everything else that go along with being on the PGA Tour. But it's a fine line between the talent level of the players on both tours.
Well, it's just like you heard. If he pulls this off, top 3, whatever, it's a battlefield promotion for him. And he's already won twice on the Web.com Tour. He won in Louisiana this year. So he's a player. I'm looking forward to following him a little bit and seeing how he does today. So anyway, it's going to be great out here today. It's going to be fun.
We're going to be joined by someone else from that golf course later on in the show. Is that right?
We are. Madison Whittemore. My friend Madison Whittemore's family owns Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. And he's going to join us in the last segment just to talk a little bit more about the Nashville Golf Open. This is going to become Woodstock for golf, I predict. All the country musicians are going to be out here. I mean, the Pro-Am was fabulous. Vince played in it. Marty Rowe played in it. We had a big time. I'm excited that Nashville has a PGA Tour, now Web.com Tour event. I'm thrilled.
So, very, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're
going
to take a quick break here and 9:15, and we're going to come back. When we do, we'll be joined by Mike Perkey. He's the editor-in-chief of Global Golf Post. He is at Oakmont and got to put on his galoshes and rain gear and soak through the first round with everybody else, and there he is for day number 2 as well, and he'll give us an update on what he's seen, what he thinks about the conditions, if Oakmont will be brought to its knees by all that rain and the guys will be able to go after pins or maybe not. I mean, that's kind of the question that I have is, Oakmont, the anticipation was, what a challenging, hard golf course. But it got softened up. A lot of rain came down in the last 24 hours. We'll talk with Mike Perkey with Global Golf Post when we come back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with the Dallas studios. We have Frank Bassett, who's at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, the site of the Nashville Golf Open on the web.com tour. And joining us now is Mike Perkey. He's the editor-in-chief of Global Golf Post, online magazine that gives you all the golf information you could ever want. We'll tell you how you get your free subscription in just a little bit, but you need to get one. I promise you, you'll never regret it. It comes in your email every Monday. So, Mike, how you doing? Mike's at Oakmont, by the way. So we got three different locations covered: Dallas, Nashville, and Oakmont. Mike, how's everything going on in Oakmont so far here in day two?
Well, the sun is out, which is a good sign. It's going to get up to about 82 today. Going to help dry out the golf course, and it looks like there's no more rain for the rest of the week, so that's a good sign.
So I'm curious, I asked during the break or when we were going into the first break about the condition of the golf course with all the rain, because it wasn't just a nice little rainstorm. It was a soaking rain and hard rain, and it put a lot of standing water on that golf course, which has a reputation, if it's hard, of being virtually impossible, especially on the greens and whatnot. So was there so much water that it is going to soften it up enough for these guys to play a different kind of a game where they can actually go for some pins, at least in today's second round?
Yeah, what happens is when it's this wet, the fairways are easier to hit because the ball won't bounce through the fairways into the rough. And if the fairways are easier to hit, the greens are more receptive, so that you don't have to play away from as many pins. If you've got a short iron in your hand, you can attack the pins a little more because you can get some spin, and the ball will stop somewhere around the hole. Now, hopefully, as the golf course dries out over the next couple of days, by Sunday we're going to see the real Oakmont and have a real Oakmont U.S. Open by then.
We see the leaderboard with a few names that are a bit surprising. Andrew Landry finishing his first round with a 66. The most surprising of all, if you go down, you have Shane Lowry, Scott Percy, the guys that are just starting their first rounds, and they're already on the golf course. Lee Westwood finished with a 67. But a few names, Kevin Streelman, that aren't necessarily on the tip of everybody's tongue as the top golfers who you would anticipate maybe on Sunday being there. But let's talk about Andrew Landry. Here's a kid out of the Beaumont area, ranked number 624 in the world, qualifies to play his first major, happens to be at Oakmont. Not all those ingredients would add up to a 66. What happened with Andrew Landry? Was he just out of his mind yesterday?
Well, you know, usually at the U.S. Open, there are going to be some Thursday's first-round stories of guys that you don't hear very much from. In fact, I didn't know who Andrew Landry was. I didn't realize he was on the PGA Tour until I had to look him up. And that's how obscure he is. And his best finish on tour was a tie for 41st, which was last week at Memphis. So, you know, he got some confidence when the rain hit. He had enough confidence to fire at some flags, and the greens were slowed down just enough that he made a bunch of putts. And, you know, to come out and make a 15-footer on number 9 today for a birdie, number 9 is one of the hardest holes on the golf course. So, you know, these guys get their 15 minutes to half hour of fame on Thursday and Friday, and we'll see what happens to them on the weekend.
We're talking with Mike Perkey. He's the editor-in-chief of Global Golf Post. Another name that has to be talked about is the amateur, Scottie Scheffler. And if you follow golf, as you do, and other people that write for it, know Scottie Scheffler's name. Very, very good junior golfer. Just finished his sophomore year at the University of Texas, out of the Dallas area, and kind of comes from that pedigree of Jordan Spieth and some very, very good young golfers in the Dallas area. But again, as an amateur, to play on a course like Oakmont that seems daunting to the most veteran of veteran golfers, another surprise there that an amateur can come in his first round and shoot a 69.
Well, Scottie Scheffler is a college student and therefore doesn't have very much scar tissue. He comes to Oakmont with absolutely nothing to lose. He's coming here to have fun. He doesn't have to worry about making a living here. And he can just freewheel and have a good time. If you'll remember, 4 or 5 years ago at the Olympic Club, Scotty's teammate, Bo Hostler, before Bo went to Texas, was leading the U.S. Open at the Olympic Club. So it's not unprecedented for amateurs to appear on the leaderboard the first couple of days.
So a few names that are going to also pop out from the other end of the leaderboard are Spieth, Fowler, and McIlroy. Jordan Spieth hung tight, but two over, and a couple of rough bogeys when he came back today to finish his first round on 7 and 8. It's kept it right around even par, but kind of messed those two holes up. So two over, certainly not way out of it, but worse than he wanted to start. But you look at Ricky Fowler, 6 over, Rory McIlroy, 7 over in their first round. What the heck happened to those guys?
Well, you know, just because it's wet and just because the pins are accessible doesn't mean that Oakmont is a pushover. If you don't drive your ball in the fairway, this rough is now lush and thick and wet. And when you drive it in the rough, it's a de facto one-shot penalty. It's just almost like hitting it in a hazard. And, you know, it's said that you can't win on Thursday, but you can lose on Thursday. And Fowler and McIlroy are just looking absolutely miserable. Now, Jordan Spieth at two over is not out of it. If you think that the winning score is going to be somewhere around even par on Sunday, then, you know, Jordan Spieth is still in the hunt. But Fowler and McIlroy, they're going to have a ways to go to make the cut.
And it even seems amazing that a guy like Rory McIlroy, when we just brought up Andrew Landry as the leader out of nowhere, that he would be able to shoot 11 shots better than Rory McIlroy. I mean, I sometimes get dumbfounded, and I know golf is golf, and it's a weird, crazy game. But how would Andrew Landry ever conceivably, on a championship golf course with all the pressure and everything, having never been through that, be 11 shots better than Rory McIlroy? I think it's speaking volumes that Rory's game, we thought, was kind of on. He won in Ireland a few weeks ago. We kind of thought he was there. He must not be close to his game right now.
Well, Rory was my pick for this week, so that shows you how much I know.
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, it's a funny old game, and, you know, it's all about confidence, and if you get going wrong and you can't find a fairway, your score will add up to a whole lot here at Oakmont. You know, for a guy like Andrew Landry, he's got absolutely nothing to lose. He's not expected to do well. And, you know, and I don't expect him to, in the second round, to, you know, shoot another 66. It might be closer to 76 for all we know. But McIlroy is a mystery. You know, we thought coming into the Open, he was playing well. He was in command of his game. Rory McIlroy is one of the best drivers of the golf ball on the tour. And to not be able to find a fairway coming down the stretch, it's dumbfounding.
We're joined by Mike Perkey. He's the editor-in-chief of Global Golf Post. Okay, let's talk about today. They get out. It's saturated. The water has been, so it's going to be a little bit softer today where some of these guys, Jason Day, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Sergio, Justin Rose, a lot of guys hadn't even teed off yet. So just getting out of their second day. Let's look at number one player in the world, Jason Day. Very first hole, hits it in the rough, hits it in a trap, and he bogeys the first hole. We don't know where he's going to end up, obviously. But are you liking, maybe take away today's first hole, but just even coming into the tournament, are you liking where Jason Day is at? He's been red hot for 4 months now or longer. But sometimes these tournaments, as we just talked about Rory, it could be different.
You know, he's won 7 times out of his last 17 starts, but he told the media the other day that he's never felt so much pressure in his life, being number one and being expected to win the U.S. Open. And, you know, I don't know how much that pressure is self-imposed, but you know, if you come to the U.S. Open and stand on the first tee with the weight of the world on your shoulders, you're likely not to come out with a very good result. You know, I don't know what Jason Day is thinking and feeling. Certainly he's one of the favorites to win here, first hole notwithstanding. But he just needs to relax and let the game come to him.
The golf course, as you said, at Oakmont, known for how difficult it can be, tamed down a little bit. When it does, assuming no more weather issues, and it does become the Oakmont that we all expect it to be, which it should be late today and certainly over the weekend, what do you think? We talked about the winning scores, and for an unknown guy to be able to shoot 4 under in his first round says, okay, well, somebody's going to win this thing at maybe 8 under, 9 under, 10 under. Do you think realistically, though, it is going to get back to Oakmont and even par is going to be right around where the winning score is going to be?
By the weekend, when the golf course drives out, We're going to see Oakmont like it was designed to be, and I think that somewhere around even par, maybe one or two under, maybe, but I would sign for even par right now and sit in the clubhouse.
Well, we'll see how it happens. It's going to be fascinating over the weekend, that's for sure. People will be glued to their TVs because of as much of the golf course and the mystique about that as it is with the golfers, to see how they who can react and who can play that challenging golf course the best. Hey, Mike, for people that haven't subscribed yet to Global Golf Post, it's pretty easy to do. What would they need to do to subscribe to your free magazine?
To go to www.globalgolfpost.com, you can sign up for a free subscription. It will come to your email inbox every Monday morning around 7 a.m. Eastern Time. It's no charge, and we're happy to do it.
And it's filled with not only stories about what's going on at Oakmont in the world of golf and the PGA Tour, but also golf tips and equipment and great pictures. It's a phenomenal online magazine, Global Golf Post. So I suggest everybody get online, globalgolfpost.com, and subscribe today. It'd be well worth their time. Mike, thanks so much for your time.
Thank
we
you
do appreciate
much.
It, and enjoy the rest of the weekend at Oakmont.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, Mike Perkey, editor-in-chief of Global Golf Post. And, first of all, get the magazine, because even if you can't keep up with golf, it's in your email. You got to read other emails. Why not read Global Golf Post? And you'll be updated with everything you need every Monday in the world of golf. And it doesn't cost you a dime. Can't beat that. Give it to somebody for Father's Day. There's a free Father's Day gift idea for everybody out there. Sign your dad, your uncle, your brother up for your husband for Global Golf Post. Okay, bottom of the hour, we're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back, and we'll be joined by Bob Bupka, also at Oakmont. He's the host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And I'm curious, again, I'm not sure how many U.S. Opens he's been to, but it has to be. It's more than two, is what I'm guessing, and short of 116. So somewhere in between there, we'll find out when we're joined by Bob Bupka here on Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio when we come back. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios. And the talk today, of course, is of the 116th playing of the U.S. Open at Oakmont and the very unique leaderboard that we have with some unknown players at or near the top. That includes the leader right now, Andrew Landry, in the clubhouse shooting a 4-under-66. Lee Westwood shot a 3-under-67. They're the top two players. Scott Piercy on the golf course also at 3-under. Shane Lowry at 2-under. We have a number of guys. Gary Stahl also at 2-under par now after a long birdie putt that he made on his last hole. So the leaderboard's got some guys that maybe you're not so familiar with. And at the bottom of the leaderboard are some names that you're very familiar with, as in Rory and Ricky and Jordan Spieth hanging, but 2-over par for his first round. Not a great round, but probably not a bad enough round that it's going to knock him out like maybe it would be with Rory. And here to talk more about it is our man on the scene, Bob Bupka, joins us from the media room at Oakmont. Bob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me on. It doesn't get any better than a U.S. Open, and I got kind of a chuckle listening to the local news this morning. At one point, we had on top of the leaderboard at the 116th U.S. Open, Andrew Landry, ranked 624th in the world. In second place, amateur Scottie Scheffler. So I said, wow, this truly is an Open championship when you can get comments like that.
It is amazing how they're playing this. And I said during the break, I was talking with Frank Bassett, how many U.S. Opens have you been to, Bob? I guess it's more than two and less than 116.
That is right. I think the first one was when Francis Wee met one in 1913. I remember covering that, and we had carrier pigeons that were taken by reports back to the media center.
But you've been to a bunch of them, like 20 or more?
Oh, yeah. This is my 121st major, so... But, you know, I don't want any credit for doing that, because all that means is I'm old. That's the only way you get to cover that many events. You have to get old. But it doesn't, doesn't damper the enthusiasm. I actually was here, believe it or not, in 1973, even though I was not broadcasting back then. I actually was very disappointed when I was here in 73 because on Long Island, where I live, I had tried to qualify for the Long Island Amateur. You had to be a 2 handicap or better. Well, 126 guys in the field trying to get to 16 spots into match play. And I double bogeyed the last hole, was frustrated, got in the car with my club professional. We drove here to Oakmont. I called home at 11 o'clock that night and found out I had 8 o'clock tee time the following morning. I was last guy in. Obviously, didn't make that tee time, but I got to see Johnny Miller shoot that 63 on Sunday. Still one of the best rounds ever in the U.S. Open. And wow. Then the memory that really is on my mind and in my heart, 1994, Arnold Palmer made his last walk in the U.S. Open up the fairway at Oakmont. Unbelievable reception from the time he was on the green, on the tee, I mean, until he got on the green. He was brought over to ABC television. He started the post-round interview with them. He started to break down crying. I was waiting next. I was doing Mutual Radio broadcasting then. We had the radio rights. Arnie finishes ABC, turns to me. I see these tears coming down. I start to cry. I'm interviewing Arnold Palmer. He's crying. I'm crying. And to this day, I still cherish that memory.
That's a great one. That is a great one. We're talking with Bob Bupka, host of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. He's at Oakmont as they've just started, for a lot of these golfers, their first round after the major rain delays yesterday. Talk about the leaderboard, Bob, and we're talking about Andrew Landry and Scottie Scheffler and other players that we're not familiar seeing on top of this leaderboard. What would be the reason for that? How would a guy like an Andrew Landry, is it just the inexperience that he wouldn't know what not to do, so he just played golf without much pressure at all?
Pretty well put, Tim. We've been struggling here in the media room to try and come up with some, gems of wisdom that could tell the story of why Andrew Landry, ranked 624th in the world, would be sitting on top of the leaderboard. What makes it even more impressive, he had a 10-foot putt for birdie on his last hole of the day yesterday when play was suspended. So he was brought off the golf course, had to go home, had to sleep on that, thought of that putt, comes back this morning and knocks it in to go from 3-under to 4-under. I mean, I just can't imagine how many thoughts during the night he had of this 10-foot putt and yet was able to find the bottom of the cup with it. And you got to give him a lot of credit, and I'm sure the people at Ping, Carsten, the whole family, very happy. He's proudly wearing his Ping hat. He does play Ping clubs, so a good promo for them. I'm really pleased with Lee Westwood. He's at 3-under par. During the rain delay, he was brought into the media center yesterday, had an opportunity to talk to him. He was in actually watching the football being played, or soccer as we call it, between England and Wales. And it was a nail biter. It was 1-1 in the closing minutes. And all of a sudden, England scored a goal from nowhere to win 2-1. Lee Westwood was exploding with happiness. And then he went out and finished his round, shot 3-under par. As you well know, Tim, he's never won a major. And he would be a wonderful major champion of a U.S. Open. He's got a long way to go. But that 3-under round, certainly a very solid performance.
Talking about some of the bigger names, we've talked about the lesser names, the guys that are at top of the leaderboard. Not a surprise, but it also a surprise if you go down to the bottom of the leaderboard and you see names like McIlroy and Fowler. McIlroy shoots a 7-over. Ricky shoots 6-over par for their first rounds. Any explanation there? Why would those two golfers, and especially Rory in his case, everybody thought Rory was kind of on his game, had won recently in Ireland. No explanation that I can think of that he wouldn't be playing at least near par golf. What did you see in Rory that would explain how that guy could blow up the way he did in his first round?
Well, I'm a little disappointed in you, Tim. I thought I was going to get the answer from you for that question so I could use that in my reports. I don't think there is an explanation. It was just one of those things that things didn't go right for Rory. And, you make a bogey here, it leads to another bogey and another bogey. I mean, certainly nobody more disappointed with their opening round performance than Rory McIlroy, 7 over par. Ricky Fowler, certainly, as you indicated, a 6 over par, 76. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Jordan Spieth, even the defending champion, although there was some behavior issues out on the golf course with Jordan Spieth. Apparently, microphones picked him up complaining about the fact that he didn't get a chance to go to the range before being brought out after the rain delay. He's still very much in the hunt at 2 over par. Jordan can come back with a brilliant round in round two, but still, 2 over par is not the opening round that Jordan Spieth was hoping that he would shoot.
Jason Day also early in his first round, as he got a late start in his opening round, so he's just on his third hole, but he bogeyed his first hole, so he's 1 over par. Do you still hold out? The rain obviously softened things up for a lot of the golfers today, but you still hold to what most people are saying, which is even par, give or take a couple of strokes either way, should be right there on Sunday, holding up the trophy somewhere around even par. You still think that'll be the winning score? Because certainly if you look at Landry now and say, okay, the guy's 4 under, somebody else can shoot that, you're thinking somebody could get 8 or 9 or 10 under par, but that seems unrealistic, doesn't it, once it hardens up and firms up again at Oakmont?
Yeah, I think you're right on the money, Tim. I've reevaluated my projections on what I thought the winning score would be. I thought, when I got here on Monday, I mean, this was a hard, firm, fast golf course. The greens were running at 14-15 on the stemp meter. And I said, wow, what a challenge this is going to be. But they've slowed down. They're still very fast. They're probably 12 today, and they'll be back up to 14 by Saturday and Sunday. And I fully anticipate now, I would think that there's not a player in the field, Tim, that if I offered them 4 under par for 72 holes, that they wouldn't grab at that opportunity and just sit back and relax, maybe 5 under par. Certainly a lot better than it would have been had we not had the rain.
If you remember, everybody that's listening, back the last time that the Open was held at Oakmont was 2007. Angel Cabrera won at 5 over, just to give some reference to where this might be come Sunday. But you're right, with the weather being what it is, maybe some guys would get a little bit under par. But I don't even know. I think 5 under would be really optimistic. I think if you're Jordan Spieth, I'd be okay. I'd say, okay, it wasn't what I should have shot, but I think I'm all right. If I come back and shoot 1 under or 2 under the next round or even par, I'm still right there in the middle of the thing. But if you're Rory, boy, you got to go back to the drawing board. Rory, realistically, is out of this tournament, isn't he, Bob?
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he would have to post something really special in the second round. And by the way, second round is not going to be completed today. Matter of fact, the second half, the second wave, is not even going to tee off until tomorrow morning. So then it's going to be sometime tomorrow afternoon before we make the cut. And then after we make the cut, 60 and ties, they'll begin round three, which they certainly won't finish tomorrow. They'll try and catch up by going very early on Sunday morning, and then with any luck, get it in by Sunday night. The last thing they would want to have happen, Tim, is for this to be extended until Monday to complete 72 holes, because in the event of a tie, as you well know, this major has an 18-hole playoff. So if we have tie after 72 holes on Monday, that means we're here on Tuesday, and by then I'm going to be tired of eating Pittsburgh food.
Which is almost impossible. Pierogies. You can't have too many pierogies, that's for sure. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it, and have a great time out there for the final three rounds out at Oakmont.
I will certainly do that, Tim, and thanks for having me on, and keep up the good work,
sure,
my man.
Okay, we'll do it. Thanks so much, Bob. Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, coming to us live from Oakmont Country Club. And, again, the leaderboard hasn't changed an awful lot. Certainly there are guys that are out there now that are playing, but it still has Andrew Landry at 4 under. He is the man everybody's chasing and the number everybody's chasing. I don't know as the greens will continue to firm up. If anybody's that's out there now, including the big names, Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson and Jason Day that are playing, Justin Rose that are playing late and still early in their first round, I don't know that any of them are going to be able to get to four under par. We'll see. But that's the number that everybody's trying to get to as far as the leaderboard goes as we speak right now. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, Madison Whittemore is going to join us. He's the course owner where Frank is at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, host of the Nashville Golf Open on the web.com tour. We'll talk with Madison and Frank when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour, so stay with us. And we're back, Golf Talk America, as we're into the first round, the completion of the first round, as a lot of golfers are still on the course for the 116th U.S. Open at Oakmont. Just finished talking with Bob Bupka, live from the media center at Oakmont, and all the drama that comes with a major championship, and it certainly is happening out there at the 116th U.S. Open at Oakmont. Andrew Landry, virtual unknown on the PGA Tour, has the lead still. He finished his first round early this morning with a 4 under 66, and he has the lead in the clubhouse. But another tournament going on at exactly the same time. We've been talking about the web.com stop at the Nashville Golf Open at the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, and that's where Frank Bassett has been for the last few days. And I don't think he's even gone home. I think Frank basically is sleeping there in the locker room, waking up, eating all the free food, and doing the show with us. And he has a very special guest with us right now, Frank, don't you?
I do. I want to call him my friend. We've gotten to know each other over the past few years. Met at the Masters a while back with Ned Michaels and the whole crew in the party house that was known as the Punga Pad or whatever we called it that week. But Madison Whittemore's family owns Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. He is the host this week of the Nashville Golf Open. And Madison, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, girl, thrilled to be here, and this is quite the excitement. So glad to be with you all.
It's a lot of fun. This tournament is generating a lot of excitement in this city. It's a hot place to be right now, both literally and figuratively, I will tell you. Yesterday was about 97 and 90% humidity. But, Madison, what I want to do here on PGA Tour Radio is let our listeners know the history of your golf course.
Certainly. And this property's definitely got a rich history. And, in fact, it even goes back to 10 years after the War of Independence, 1786, the Crockett family got this as a 600-acre land grant, North Carolina at the time, and started plowing the land and making what we now call Nashville Golf and Athletic Club their home. So it definitely goes back quite a ways, and then jumping fast forward a bit, we were thrilled. Devlin Von Hagee and came in the early 70s and saw the potential for a golf course here and got in the Nashville market and really saw what was such a special piece of property and how it could be developed. And while it was a little ahead of its time, we're starting to see it shine now. Our family took it over in 79, so we've been host of it for almost 40 years and feel very blessed to be a part of it and share this property with the members and guests alike. And seeing this come together now is really the fruition of a lot of hard work and dreams start to pay off.
So. Well, it's I'll tell you, the property is beautiful. And, Tim, it's this golf course is tough. I will tell you, and I've said it before, it's not a pushover. It's a course that anybody can play if you're smart.
A lot of course management out here.
There's a lot of course management out here. Yeah, but it's we're thrilled, and to hometown boy here, to have a PGA Tour event, web.com tour event in Nashville, Tennessee again, and especially on this property. Now, Madison, correct me if I'm wrong, but the original design of this golf course, it was set up to host major championships and possibly a U.S. Open in its design.
Certainly. Devlin and Von Hagee, the architects, had that dream and their vision when they were building this property, and it certainly holds true, because to build a course in 1971 with persimmon woods and bilata balls, the tips stretch out to 7,600 yards, and we haven't added a single back tee out here, and it still stands the test with today's technology, so I can't even dream of it 40, 50 years ago and technology and conditions they played in that time.
So. Heck, man, I can't dream of it with my game today. I had, of course, one of our friends and host Ned Michaels took me out here and said, okay, Frank, we're going to back up and see what you got. And after about three holes, I said, Ned, I'll meet you after you hit your ball up at my forward tee.
It is remarkable how the different tees change the whole course dynamic. And it is not just a longer club in your hand, but literally different shot selections and different risk and rewards based on which tees are here. So the front tees, like you said, very playable, very fun, great course to play. And as you step back, just the challenges become more. Different shots have different angles, hazards, troubles, rewards. And that's what makes it fun, because you can play this course 1,000 times and always have a different round.
Yeah.
It becomes tiresome.
If I could, I'd like to ask a question. We're joined by Madison Whittemore, who's the owner of the golf course that we're talking at for the Nashville Golf Open, the Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. So yesterday, Wesley Bryant takes your golf course and basically slaps it upside the head and says, hey, bring something challenging to me. Does it bother you that you have such a great golf course and a challenging one? And if somebody sets a course record and seemingly has no difficulty with it, and I know that's a rarity, but does that bother you at all? Or are you proud of the fact that Wesley played so well?
I still definitely have difficulty with this course, there's no question, but I think it's proud, and at the same time, we somewhat expected it. You're bringing 400-plus rounds of some of the best golfers in the world. You know, somebody's bound to play their game and get on fire, and he did just that. He birdied 10 of the last 12 holes, which was remarkable. And, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, what conditions you are. When you start to groove it, it just works, and pretty fun. I think it's going to be more interesting to see where that cut line falls and see what happens through the weekend, because the conditions getting a little bit more windier. You know, we had rain on Wednesday, so that softened up the course. But through the weekend, we should see those greens firm back up a little bit, speed pick up a little bit. And I think the scores will change as those conditions go to the course's aid in helping keep scores in check. But he played a wonderful round, and that was thrilling to see.
And Madison, yeah, he was putting out of his head, too. Wow.
Oh, we were on the 18th green watching him make that last putt, and it was quite the roar of excitement.
And this is the first tournament that you guys have had, the Web.com stop here, the Nashville Golf Open. But you certainly expect to have many, many, many more. You feel like this is the golf course that the players are going to want to keep coming back to and playing in, and it'll be a mainstay on the Web.com tour for years to come?
We certainly think that, and the feedback we've had from players thus far echoes that. They've said this is definitely one of the more challenging courses they play. A lot of mental game and strategy to it, which they enjoy, and you know, they have a respect for it, which most of all speaks, I think, to the quality of the course and their enjoyment. They know courses, and they know what they can get away with, but for them to have a respect and play the course, that's where it really becomes a true testament of how this was designed and built, and you know, who enjoys it most, and that's exactly this caliber player.
And this golf course, this club, Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, has some pretty big name members.
Oh, certainly, we've got quite the talented player list here. For you know, we're committed to a smaller membership, and that's a quality of golf. It's our main focus. We're a golf club only. We're not a country club with pool and tennis. And golf has always been our focus. So, you know, we're a true believer in this game and in the sport as it develops and the bonds it creates and the values you learn from the game. So this is exactly what we thrive to be and excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, and Mr. Snedeker plays this course.
He does, and, you know, as a Vanderbilt alumni, he was out here for most of his college days, and he's got a lot of excitement and respect for this place as well, and we share that with him.
Yeah, we're going to have to gig Brandt a little bit about the course record. Now.
Yeah, he needs to come out here and see what he can do. He knows it well enough, that's for sure.
We'll get the group. We'll have two or three groups and get out there and follow. We'll bring Vince Gill back and Marty Rowe and the crew. Yeah, this is just a special place. Even this clubhouse, it's old and just beautiful and historic.
The membership office is an original single log story cabin that Nancy and Andrew Crockett built in the late 1700s. So, you know, there's some history there. And
yeah, it's you got to get to Nashville, Tim, and come play this golf course.
I'd love to. I mean, it sounds I'm kind of licking my chops at the prospect of shooting 112 when I get out there. And, I can't wait for the opportunity.
The special part is when they built this, they had all the land they wanted. The course is spread out almost over 250 acres, which is much more land than most courses use. And because of that, you know, Von Hagee and Devlin were really thinking ahead for the future. And there's opportunities for grandstands around almost every hole or hospitality tents or vendors, which so often on courses today are taken up by homes. And, you know, this is a golf course. We don't have homes out here rarely at all. And then you really have a a peacefulness of nature out there on the backside of the course that you rarely get to experience in a lot of courses today.
Yeah, you just hear the crickets, the animals, and the occasional club toss. So, as we say on PGA Radio.
The helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter into the water hazard. Madison Whittemore joining us, the host and owner of Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, the host of the Nashville Golf Open this week on the Web.com Tour, the inaugural effort by the Web.com Tour and the PGA Tour to place some championship golf back in Nashville, Tennessee, where it belongs. This community is behind it, and Tim, as we've talked before, and Bobby Raymond, who's our producer, was a really good golfer in his day, too, has been out here. So we'll have to get out here and let Madison take you to your knees, Tim, on this golf course.
I can't wait, but it does sound like
I don't want to take the first four holes. That's all it takes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. After the first four holes, buddy, you get on number one here, and I don't belabor it, but and I'm not even going to tell you. I will just tell you this. After four holes, if you're not, you could.
You're tapping for mercy.
You're begging. Yeah, I mean, you're begging for mercy. Like we talk about the church pews at Oakmont, you'll be cussing in the pews, baby. It's a tough golf course. So, anyway, Madison, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate y'all's coverage.
Thank you for having us here. We love being here. Love being back home for a week.
This is good. We look forward to future years with it, and I think it's only going to continue to grow and prosper.
No doubt. Madison Whittemore, owner of Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, site of this year's Nashville Golf Open. All right, Tim, what do you think?
Well, I think we should wrap up the show. And, Madison, thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. We'll give you a final look at the leaderboard as it stands right now. Andrew Landry, still the man everybody's chasing. And most of them are chasing him by, first of all, asking everyone around them, who is this Andrew Landry guy? And that's the question. We'll see where he is come Saturday and Sunday. But right now, he is still in the lead at 4-under par. Lee Westwood at 3-under. Scott Percy has joined him at 3-under par. He is now on the ninth hole. Gary Stahl, a French player that a lot of people aren't as familiar with on a European tour, is 2-under. He's also on the ninth hole. And Scotty Scheffler in the clubhouse, the amateur out of Highland Park, Texas, the Dallas area, shoots a 69. He is at 1-under par. And Jordan Spieth, the defending champion, at 2-over par. But plenty of guys still out on the golf course because of all the rain delays yesterday. So a lot of golf yet to be played by very, very good golfers, including Day, Mickelson, Johnson, Sergio, Furyk, Rose, Scott, all kinds of guys out there. We'll see how that leaderboard changes when the night sets on Oakmont Country Club. But it's been a spectacular first round so far, and weather should not be a factor the rest of the way. That should about do it. Frank, you have a good time there at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club, and tip one back for me, okay?
And we will, and happy anniversary, Tim, to you and your wife.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll have a little special weekend for the me and the missus. We'd like to thank everybody for being with us. Bob Bupka for joining us on the air, as well as Mike Perkey, editor-in-chief of Global Golf Post, and Madison Whittemore. I'm Tim Matthews for Frank Bassett and Bobby Raymond. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on Golf Talk America.